and James on Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com and by Orange Theory Fitness. Come see why the New York Times and Men's Health rated the best one-hour workout. Your first workout is free. Open in Burlington on Shelburne Road. The Huddle is now on 101.3 ESPN. 101.3ESPN.com and streaming worldwide. 101.3 ESPN app.
The man's putting. Can we just wait 1 second? Good afternoon. You're in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. All accounted for. Brady's here. Rich is here. Artie's here. How you doing, handsome? What's going on, big boy?
That's one of the funnier things that ever happened.
He was putting.
We're literally 50 feet away from the 18th green, and, you know, lives are changing, right, just to the right of us. This guy's lined up for this really
That guy just swung and missed.
let me tell you something. That guy has already shot 100 on this hole, so it doesn't make a difference.
Artie, I'm impressed that you waited to let your scream out.
Yes.
The timing could not have been better.
I actually thought you were going to stop doing it. I thought you were just going to come in and whisper.
I just wanted to wait till this guy putted. But you know what? It really doesn't make a difference because nobody's hitting the putts anyway, so it doesn't make a difference. And I saw one guy pull up, Phil Mickelson, and was rolling down the hill, and he putted it again before it stopped rolling, and I had to go over and almost had to talk with him. So, but he did finish out the hole. I don't like what, to me, it doesn't count unless the ball goes in the hole. None of this pickup stuff.
No gimmies?
What is a give me? I've never heard of that. I don't know what a give me is. No such thing as a give. What is, if you get on the green, that's a give me? Look at that. The way these guys are putting, there's no such thing as a gimme.
The gimme means that 8 is the course limit and they just have to stop. That's what it is.
Tell everybody where we are. It's unbelievable out here.
It's the start of the Huddle Golf Tour. We are live at Rocky Ridge Golf Club. We're in technically St. George, Vermont, which is a beautiful place, quintessential Vermont town. We are here. We're hanging out until 7 o'clock for the Huddle and Champlain Valley game night, and we've got a ton going on. We've got a 50-foot putting contest on the practice greens. If you can hit that, you can win a pair of Red Sox tickets. If you, Rich, you also apparently did that?
I did. It was a piece of cake.
So if you can do it, then somebody...
Though. Now it counts from the time we get on the air. Now you got to do it.
Okay. So somebody can actually... If Rich can do it, then somebody's got a reasonable chance at it. So Red Sox tickets are up for grabs there.
Wow.
And if you can beat the huddle, we're all going to get out there and putt as well. If you can get closer to the hole, we got a chance to win some great swag from Bomb Tech Golf. They've got all kinds of things.
They've got the wedges.
They've got brand new clubs here that they're giving away today.
Yeah, and drivers, all kinds of stuff.
And there's so many people who drive 116, which is the road we're on here, and home to Hinesburg and Starksboro and all the way out there. All you need to do is plenty of free parking. Just pull in on your way home and take a putt. We got about 94 people here ready for you to putt. Yeah.
And, by the way, nice of you to help us today. We had 7 people helping. Well, you weren't one of them.
There was so many people. Somebody's got to be in charge. Somebody's got to go ahead and dictate the pace here. What, Rich?
How many putts did you try to make one shot from say 30 feet? You
about 500.
You literally took 500.
And
putts.
I put it every place but in the hole. Every place.
None of them were even close.
No, some were close. Don't say that. Don't lie.
You'd think at some point one of them might trickle in.
The very first one you took was pretty good.
Yeah, that was the one that was right there on the lip, and no, it came closer after that. Nothing closer.
You know, it's funny. We mentioned Bomb Tech Golf being here, and they're giving away a bunch of stuff. Bomb Tech Golf was developed in part with UVM Engineering. So it's a local company. They are here. They've got the original grenade driver, which I've seen.
Look at those clubs he's got. Unbelievable.
Thing is huge. He's got the grenade golf bag out here right now. So these guys are awesome. They've got a full line.
I'd make to go drive some balls.
You couldn't hit it.
Yeah, I'm not a good driver.
Even Arnie could make contact with the ball.
Yeah, look at the ball explode once it hits that thing. Look at that.
True story. When I was, the first time I ever went golfing, I was about 14.
Yeah.
And I really railed against golf for a long time. Like, I didn't want to get good at it. I didn't even want to play it. But then I played it one time, and it was a par 3 right in my buddy's development. And I'd never played before, didn't think I could hit the ball in the air. The first hole is like 140 yards.
Right.
Not very far. So I said, I'm going to use a driver. Why? Because if I use a driver, I won't hit it in the air.
140 yards.
Yeah, it'll just roll.
Exactly.
So I go about 150 out and 550 to the right.
Oh, jeez.
And hit a house.
All
way off the first hole.
I like, because I like being out here because I'm using our interns as caddies.
Yes.
So I and to drive me around in the golf cart. I'm just digging that. I like that.
You literally asked for the golf cart to walk from the putting green to where we're sitting, which
and it's
is
like 10
40
steps.
Feet.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't. That's what you do good for golf. You get in the cart, and you have the interns get you the ball. So
well, this is great because it's funny because growing up, golf was the whole thing to me before I discovered baseball.
But
football,
you are
basketball,
country club type
because my dad. Excuse me?
You are the country club type.
No, I just, my dad was an obsessive golfer. It was 7 days a week, and I've been talking to guys already that are coming out here, and they say, yeah, we're here every single day. And once you get the bug, you can't get rid of it.
I want to see some of our listeners come out and try to out-putt us and get the Red Sox tickets, first of all, which is awesome, or get some of these clubs, the drivers, the wedges, all kinds of great stuff we got to give away. So I had nobody wins them. We'll just take them ourselves.
Yeah.
I love it.
On the way home, like I said, park and putt. Just stop in, putt. We got. When I say we have a lot of people, isn't it funny how the entire staff shows up for a remote a broadcast from a golf course on a sunny day?
But if it's someplace else where there's like concrete and hot, no, I can't make it. I can't make it.
Well,
just can't do it.
And we're going to be doing this at a bunch of places throughout the summer. This is the first stop. This is the spot to be. And what a great course it is, too, because I told you my dad and I played it on Saturday. And you start walking up some of these holes towards in the back nine, like holes like 13 through 18, or holes like 13 through 16. You're walking uphill. Yes. And when you get to the top of those holes, you are just looking down at the mountains. You're looking straight across from the mountains. It's absolutely awesome. And then you finally get to walk down the hill, and that's great, too.
There's not much in St. George other than the convenience store in St. George Villa where everybody lives, but they sure have this, and this is something else.
Yeah, I want to play. I really do want to get out there and play. I've played
really
a long time.
It's hard to come here on a sunny day and watch everybody else play. So if I suddenly disappear, you'll know
it's
why.
It's like waving an ice cream in my face and saying you can't have any. What do you mean? You put me in a golf course, but I can't play?
Right, let's talk about this bowl of homemade mac and cheese, but don't eat it.
Yeah, don't eat it.
Just, by the way, Arnie, I think one of the guys that just went on the foursome is the guy who doesn't like you from basketball.
Is it? I didn't notice him. I did not notice.
The guy just put it in the sand trap?
No, he went down that way.
Yeah,
so.
Okay. The guy just teed off on one, and I'm pretty sure it's the guy who talks trash to you in basketball.
Really? Should I go make his life miserable? I'll go get a cart and drive up to him? I would love that. How much fun would that be, huh?
Speaking of fun, how about trivia last night?
Yeah.
Trivia was great, except before you were there, I botched a question.
Uh-oh.
As bad as you could botch one.
The asking you botched?
Yes. Oh,
and
yeah.
All the trivia Nazis were screaming at you or what?
Yep, absolutely. So I like to give hints to some of the harder questions, and it was about the World Cup. And the question was, what is the official airline sponsor of the World Cup?
Okay.
Now, you might not know that off the top of your head.
Emirates,
right?
Isn't it?
Huh?
Is it Fly Emirates?
It's Qatar Airlines.
Oh, Qatar, okay. Yeah.
So I said, basically that the airline sponsor has the same name of the country that it's in.
Oh.
And Qatar is the 2022 World Cup. Of course, Russia is the sponsor now, but I just got so far ahead of myself that people were putting Russian airlines. Like, I don't even know if that exists.
Oh, you screwed up. Oh, my goodness.
So we had to give everybody in the building that question because my effort to be nice, I ended up messing myself up.
It's so hard to be a game show host.
It sounds like you guys had a blast there.
Yeah,
we
did.
Crowd again. And I was over at the Centennial for the, quote, home opener. I mean, it was sort of the home opener. And last night was everything I love and everything I don't love about baseball all in one game. I'm glad I'm not doing the Tigers gig this year.
It took forever, the first game.
Because I have never seen a baseball team with so many mound visits in one 90 game. There's clearly no rule regulating it. There must have been 15 of them, at least 15 mound visits. The game took 3 hours and 45 minutes to play a 5-4 nine-inning game. And then they had to play another game after that, which ended at 12:45 in the morning.
But the second game was a historic game because it was supposed to be a seven-inning game. The Lake Monsters didn't get a hit till the bottom of the eighth, and that's when they put a runner on second. Then he got the third because of the new rules when you go into extra innings, and they got their one base hit that drove the run game over. I love it. Yeah.
I mean, it's so weird. It was the strangest thing because Connecticut goes to the eighth, and you're like, wait a minute, it's only the eighth. Oh, yeah, they're only playing seven. Why is there a guy on second? It's not extra innings. It's only the eighth inning. Oh, yeah, they're only playing seven. So everything about last night was confusing to the people that were still there in the wee hours, but ultimately it paid off with a quick finish after 6.5 hours of baseball.
Well, Two wins for the Lake Monsters, yeah. Now 4-1. All That's right. all I care about.
Everybody get out of here to Rocky Ridge. We already got a couple of listeners already putting for the 50-footer and to try to go ahead and win the Red Sox tickets. Plus, you can get one of the drivers or one of the wedges. So we got all kinds of great stuff to give away. Brady, what's coming up on the show today?
You can listen on the Amazon Echo. Remember, just say enable 101.3 ESPN. If you want to get in for the mistake of the day, you can on the Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672. It's brought to you by Embroidery Works at Joann's Uniforms in Colchester, helping small businesses with screen printing, embroidery, and vehicle lettering to get it right the first time. You can get that 101.3 ESPN baseball cap. As for today, David Price, what exactly are you doing now? Yankees keep hitting home runs at the expense of my Mariners. Saquon Barkley's very popular. Buster Olney joins us, a local debate that's going to be really, really fun, I think. But first, Chris Sale. Somebody get the man some runs.
6-2, they lose to the Twins. And what did I say yesterday coming into this? I go, Brady, any reason to watch this one? Because they should get a sweep because the Twins are not a very good team. Boom, yeah, you go ahead and you lose to the first
and
one.
And it seems like the only time they lose in these games is when Sale is pitching, because for whatever reason, when he pitches, and this happened all through the, especially the first half of last year, they just, I don't know if their heads get strange in the sense they say, well, it's Chris Sale pitching. Somebody else will get the hits and we'll win 2-1.
Well, remember, a lot of times it doesn't always work out this way, but Chris Sale's going to match up with the other team's ace in some cases, and that's what happened yesterday. Jose Berríos is very good. The Twins came in yesterday 6 games under 500, but Jose Berríos has been really good, especially over his last 6 or 7 starts, and he was great at the beginning of the year, too. So he's a guy who's, you know, 93, 95 miles an hour with some good breaking stuff and some good control, doesn't allow a lot of base runners, and the Red Sox continue to not be able to hit with runners in scoring position. I mean, they left 11 runners on base yesterday.
There was a guy that used to pitch for the Dodgers. I can't remember his name. Man, you talk about a guy that would get 0 run support. It's starting to feel like that for Sale, though. This is just like a this year thing. It's not one that's historically bit him in the backside. You know, you got to wonder if the Red Sox didn't lose some of the games like this to the Twins, and then what was the one where they went 3-3?
White Sox, yeah. Detroit.
How much better the record would be? And they already have the best record in Major League Baseball. How crazy is that, huh?
Well, I mean, you look at Chris Sale this year, and I'm just looking at all his starts. He has not had one start this season with a shutout. I mean, except the opening one, the one that Joe Kelly blew. He threw 6 innings of one-hit shutout ball on opening day against Tampa. Since then, he has not. And I know it's nitpicking, and I understand he's been really good, especially as he starts. He's 1-2 to show for it. But where is the three-hitter, three-hit shutout, 8 innings, complete game? I understand, you know, he's Chris Sale. He's got to figure out a way to throw that three-hit shutout and win the game.
He's Chris Sale. They got to figure out a way to not leave 11 men on base.
Well, look, a game against Houston, June 1st, 4 runs in 6 innings. Gave up 6 runs against Atlanta at Fenway Park in the start before that. He has not been that dominant guy this year.
Yeah, but Brady's right about this one because they still had 8 hits. It wasn't like it was like a two-hitter. They were getting clobbered and it was a 1-0 game or something. Like it was 2-2 in the eighth.
He left trailing. He's never quite good enough.
He's right at the top of the American League in strikeouts. He's still pitching very well. Look, 102 innings that he's pitched this year, they've scored 53 runs for him.
Yeah.
102 innings, 53 runs. Now, if you want to call out Chris Sale and say, hey, where is the three-hit shutout? Well, I'm going to call out the offense and say, hey, where is the 8 runs of support game for him? Eduardo Rodriguez is 9-1 with an ERA of 3.5.
I know.
Chris Sale, the team is 8-8 in his starts because they can't hit 4.
2.74 ERA.
But would you like the list of people who have pitched just as many games as Chris Sale that have less run support? It's quite long. I mean, there's a lot of guys in here, including Blake Snell of Tampa, who has been absolutely unbelievable this year. He's getting less run support. There's a lot of guys on this. Not a lot. I mean, he's in the lower third of run support, no question about it. But I think it's games like last night when he leaves after a dominating performance and then the bullpen just can't throw strikes.
It's also frustrating. And I want to talk to Buster Olney about this. Look, I don't want to nitpick Alex Cora on this because you got to get guys in somewhere, but Robbie Scott's first appearance of the year needs to be in the 8th inning of a game that's tied at, you know, of a game that's tied at 2 that you've just fought back to take the lead in.
You can't have him come in and walk the first guy.
And hit the next half.
And the number 9 hitter, no less.
And I understand maybe, you know, look, they're down 2-1. He's going to come in at that point and we'll feel different. Hey, he comes in a game where they're down 2-1. But when you take the lead, and also, Jackie Bradley Jr. is getting lauded today for the double play he made at the end of the 8th inning and the throw that was like 104 miles an hour to throw the guy out at the plate. And that was amazing. What exactly was he doing on the two line drives over his head prior to that that allowed all this carnage to happen?
Yeah,
that's two misplays in center field.
And he's not going to have much more chances to be making any plays, batting, what, 180-something?
182. Yeah, another 0 for last night, and you can't keep hiding him at the bottom of the order. At some point, this has to stop.
For a guy who's supposed to have his calling card be defense, you can't go and make those two gaffes in the eighth inning of a tie game.
That's the best point, is the fact that he has to be absolutely a magician out there. He's got to be Ken Griffey defensively, because he sure ain't Ken Griffey with the bat.
Who's pitching tonight, Brady? Do you know?
David Price.
Price, and he's been great.
Gosh, I'm just not a big David Price fan.
He's not making a lot of friends, is he?
Well, especially with what he said yesterday, which is what we're getting to next. Yeah. So why don't we take a break and then get back to it.
Tell everybody where we are, Brady. This is unbelievable. Beautiful day out here, huh?
The Huddle Golf Tour live from Rocky Ridge right out here in St. George. Not that far from Williston. Not that far from Essex. Nope. Only 20 minutes from downtown. We've got our putting challenges going on right now. If you can sink a 50-footer, win a pair of Red Sox tickets. If you can beat us closest to the hole, win a lot of stuff out of Rocky Ridge from Bomb Tech Golf. People are out here trying. Even the course pro is getting out here trying to see what he can do.
I'm going to go ahead and try next. I'm going to get up there and try next. So we'll see how well I do. We will talk about David Price when we get back live at Rocky Ridge. You'll see the 101.3 ESPN.
Everyone is listening to The Huddle. It's almost like we've got a quarter of a billion listeners per month.
All right.
This is The Huddle with Rich Hardy and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in The Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. We're live at Rocky Ridge. Come on by. You don't have to play 18. You don't have to play 9. Just drive on in, park the car, just walk up to the putting green, take your putts. If you make it, you'll get those, not if you make it, I guess, what, the closest to the pin. And if somebody makes, if more than one person makes, we'll have to have a tiebreaker, I guess.
Well, closest to the pin is against us. That's the prizes from Bomb Tech and Rocky Ridge. If you get the 50-foot putt, you would get those Red Sox tickets.
First one that makes it will get the Red Sox tickets. So come on out and then just put for the Red Sox tickets, or try to get one of the wedges or the drivers. So absolutely phenomenal stuff. Great view here, guys. Unbelievable. I could do this every day.
Now, people coming in and playing closest to the pin against us, now that I've sunk a 50-footer, does that mean
No. We got to do it again.
We got to do it.
No, nope. We got to do it live on the air. By the way, Jim just came by, one of our listeners, and gave us. Well, they didn't give us.
Yeah, I wish.
Yeah, showed us a ticket from the World Series of what year was that?
1975, Game 6, the Pudge Fisk home run.
That's a pretty good one to have.
Against
signed by Bernie Carbo.
Bernie Carbo, who was the only reason Pudge Fisk was able to hit that historic home run, because Bernie Carbo hit the 3-run homer to tie it.
Let's go mug him in the parking lot. Take away that ticket. By the way, it was wrapped in whatever.
Yes. It was in a case. Yeah. The price of that ticket, $7.50.
World Series game at Fenway Park for $7.50.
I wonder what that ticket is worth right now. I mean, that's got to be worth a G or something.
Yeah, and he's going to sit in the bleacher He's sitting in the monster seats for the game against the Mariners. What was it on
Friday night?
Friday night, the night after tomorrow.
I still have not made it out there to see a Red Sox game.
Ever?
Ever. Never been to the
you
the
got it. Way.
Never been.
Gosh, just go once.
You like it? You
bring a lot of money. Yeah. That's all I'm going to say.
It's not as nice as Shea Stadium or Citibank.
But City Field.
Shea Stadium has been gone for how long?
Yeah, not as nice as it is out there, or Yankee Stadium. But
no, Yankee Stadium's not.
Wow,
the old Yankee Stadium, maybe. I mean, the really old one.
Dodger Stadium, phenomenal. Yes. I mean, that's a great background, no doubt about that. All right, let's talk about David Price, Brady. What's going on there?
Did you see this? David Price was asked about maybe being an All-Star. And at this point, look, it seems far-fetched, but at this point, David Price has been great. They're 7-0 with his last 7 starts.
Yeah.
His ERA's dropped from over 5 to 3.76.
Right.
He's now 8-4. So they say, hey, what would you think about being an All-Star? He says, I feel like if Astros manager A.J. Hinch did that, it would just to get me to throw an extra inning. So basically saying he's going to mess with the playoff races by trying to tire out David Price. He goes, and that would be a pretty professional move on his part, but I'll come up with something if I am an All-Star, so I won't have to pitch. I'll play a lot of Fortnite the day before, so I'll be unavailable.
That is just unbelievable. I mean, for players that really want to go or get, All-Star bonuses and stuff like that, this guy just making another mockery of something. And, hey, if you don't want to go, just don't accept it and tell him you don't want to go, and that way you don't have to get your All-Star bonus. I don't understand what's wrong with this Scott.
For fear of sounding like an old-timer here, it could count me in, I suppose, but I think it's disgraceful. Any Major League Baseball player who is healthy and having a great season and has chosen to play in the All-Star game and doesn't want to go is a disgrace. That is absolutely ridiculous. They've made it so simple. Everything is five-star hotels and a great time with all the guys. I understand they want the 3 days off.
Right,
but
that's
David Price somehow, I think, can stand to be there with his $25, $30 million contract. He can spend one extra day, maybe pitching one inning.
Is it 4 days off now, Brady? They don't start back up till, so it's 4 days off.
Yeah.
So
yes.
they give you, they play the game on a Tuesday.
Yes.
And then they give you Wednesday, Thursday off.
Monday. They give you Monday off.
And Wednesday,
Tuesday,
Thursday.
And then Wednesday and Thursday.
Yeah.
And
it used to be just Monday, Wednesday you got off. It was the only time there was never any sporting events on. So they give you 2 days on the back end to get back home and get to your team before a third day to play a game.
Look, I hate these comments by David Price, and I hate the sentiment behind them. But I do understand, at the very least, why he doesn't want to pitch in the All-Star game. And that is different to me than saying, I don't want to be selected for the team, but I understand why he doesn't want to pitch. He's got the carpal tunnel syndrome. He's been handled with kid gloves through this season.
Right.
I mean, he's averaging 87 pitches per start. And we think of David Price. David Price has thrown, along with Felix Hernandez and Justin Verlander, the most innings in baseball over the last several
years.
Yeah,
but that's not really the question here, though.
And it's fixable.
Yeah. I'm saying I understand why he doesn't want to pitch, but I do not like these comments about not wanting to be selected.
All you have to do is, when you're selected, say thank you, but no thank you. I've got, I've had this. I've had injuries. I just don't think it's in the best interest of me. I got to think about what's down the stretch. And then you do it that way. There's a right way and a wrong way. He's doing it the wrong way every time.
I disagree. I think it's disgraceful. If you are picked and you say no, what you do if you're David Price is you're picked, you say all the right things, and then you go and you tell A.J. Hinch before the game, way before the game, weeks before the game, just please don't pitch me. They pick so many guys for the All-Star game. Now, there's always three or four guys that never see the field.
Brady, well, I was going to ask you this, Brady. Does it make a difference that they're in first place and that he could be trying to pitch his team to a home field advantage for the World Series?
Or
That's right.
So,
but yes, it does. I mean, yeah, because A.J. Hinch is the manager of the team that's right there with
the
Red
Sox. Well, that doesn't matter, though.
Well, yeah, it doesn't matter. The game doesn't matter anymore.
Doesn't
the
matter
game
anymore,
is an exhibition. It doesn't decide home field anymore.
But
they
but that
would have
been interesting if we said that,
No, but the fact that the manager is the manager of the team that's almost dead even with the Red Sox near the top of the American League standings, if he wants to play that way, then Price can think that's what's going on.
Look, I don't believe that would be the case. The other thing is, remember about this. The Major League Baseball, in an effort to alleviate injuries, has said that if you pitch on Sunday, you are ineligible to pitch on Tuesday in the All-Star game.
Right.
So if it's that big a deal to him, manipulate the start so that David Price throws on Sunday.
Or just
and then he's in it physically ineligible.
If you can.
This
if
is
you
so
can.
Simple, but he chose the wrong road with the media, and he went there. And the Fortnite thing, look, that's funny. Ha ha. I don't know what Fortnite is, but I know he
it's the video game.
Right.
Video
I understand that, but I mean, he's obsessed with it, and he's having fun with the press on that one. But first of all, I don't think he belongs there right now. I don't care how hot he's been. He's got an ERA of 3.76, and that's not All-Star material to me.
Does Eduardo Rodriguez belong there just because he's 9-1?
Yes.
So he's 9-1 with an ERA of 3.5, and you're going to say that David Price has no chance of being an All-Star, but yet Eduardo Rodriguez is deserving.
Big difference between 9-1 and 8-4.
Well, that's
big
also
difference.
Like second in the league in hit support, so we could go back into that conversation if you want. Rodriguez is borderline to me.
The one thing that Price did well, the only thing he did well in this little soundbite, is saying that there's other pitchers more deserving of the honor. He said Chris Sale should be there, Craig Kimbrell should be there, and he said, I voted for Craig Kimbrell, Joe Kelly, Matt Barnes, and Chris Sale. He's saying he voted for all of his teammates.
Kimbrell's going also, and so will Sale.
Right.
So don't worry about that, big boy.
He just needs
to. Remember, the players get a vote, so he's allowed to vote for his guys.
That. No, but just the fact that he's saying, well, I voted here. Don't worry about your teammates. Yeah, they're going to go also. So I don't want him to use that excuse that those guys are more deserving over me or anything like
Such
that.
Such a simple way out, and he's just not doing it. He just can't control himself and just say, yeah, thank you, I'm honored, I'll go, and just don't pitch.
Brady, how come nobody else is saying this? No other All-Star is opening up their mouth.
No one's going to say anything yet. That's for sure. They're not going to say anything until the team is picked, and then you'll see guys pull out based on who's pitched and workload and injuries and things like that. But the preemptive strike against being an All-Star is not something that I'm well versed in.
That's the thing. He's saying all of this when all you're doing is just throwing out an idea. I mean, 8-4, 3-7-6, is that going to get you on the All-Star team?
I just love that he's talking about he doesn't want to pitch in the All-Star game. That's like saying to a girl, I don't want to go out with you. The girl's like, I never even said I want to go out with you. So what the hell are you talking about?
He just keeps shooting himself. Yeah, he does. This one is so unnecessary.
Well, it's also just another example. You know, look, you laugh at the Fortnite comment, and yes, it is funny, but it's another example of David Price listening to the outside chatter. The people who said he was too into video games, that the video games were the cause of his injury.
And he said, no, that wasn't. What happens if he comes back and he's injured because of that?
It's another example of him listening to what everyone else is saying and him being worried about what, you know, just having those bunny ears.
All right. You want to get to Jaylen Brown a little bit also because we're kind of compared to the Kawhi Leonard, who, by the way, is in the news all over the place. It is unbelievable, all the stuff going on Kawhi Leonard, Brady, because he is really getting a bad rap now. People are just taking shots at him left and right.
Yeah, I thought this was fascinating, though. You talk about Kawhi Leonard. They were talking about Jaylen Brown on ESPN.com, and people have been so hesitant or have been so readily okay with saying, yeah, sure, I'll get rid of Jaylen Brown, especially for Kawhi Leonard.
Right.
But they put up a post, a lengthy post that said, could Jaylen Brown become the next Kawhi Leonard? And it's hard to think about that because Kawhi Leonard finished second in the MVP voting,
right,
finished third in the MVP voting.
Right.
He's also been MVP of the finals, if I'm not mistaken. So it's hard to put that kind of pedigree on Jaylen Brown. But the paths are similar. Okay, defense first, guys, athletic. Jaylen Brown played at a better college basketball school
than
San Diego State, where Kawhi Leonard played. They've progressed at largely the same rate in terms of their shooting ability, which was the biggest question. So maybe we're being too quick to just cast Jaylen Brown aside.
I don't see the comparison to Kawhi Leonard. I know you said the defense and came from a better school. Kawhi worked a lot on his shooting. He was not a good shooter when he came in. What was he, like a late first-round pick? So I don't think he was a second-round selection. So there was a lot of surprise with him. Nobody expected him to be, obviously expected him to be this good, but there was talent there. You saw the talent in San Diego State. You saw the talent because I saw them play Arizona a bunch of times, and he was a damn good player. So it wasn't like it was 100% surprise here, but his shooting has just gotten so much better over the years. And I don't know if Jaylen Brown is going to be quite the shooter.
37% from three.
Yeah, I mean, he's shot well this year, but when you're not the guy and you're coming off the bench, you don't get as much shots. It's a little bit different than when you've got to be a starter and you get, or at least you get to shoot a lot, regardless of injury, that is.
When I first heard this, the comparison between Leonard and Brown, I was ecstatic as a Celtics fan because I'm sitting there going, if you could just find one general manager, preferably the one of the New Orleans Pelicans, and get this sort of idea into their head, you know, subtly or not. And somehow, I mean, this can only help Jaylen Brown's trade value. And I'm not saying trade him because you have no idea what he's going to be. What is he, 21?
Yeah.
So, I love the idea that this is coming out because this can only help the Celtics.
The other thing that's fascinating, too, is we've spent a lot of time, Arnie, we've said, hey, if the Celtics are going to go get Kawhi Leonard, well, you know, maybe they swap out Kyrie Irving because it's two contracts that guys are probably going to opt out of. Maybe they do that. You've said trade Gordon Hayward, make the money work. We've talked a lot about how this deal for Kawhi Leonard could get done. We haven't looked at it from the other side. What would the Spurs want for Kawhi Leonard? Do they want to take on Gordon Hayward? Or if they make the decision to get rid of Kawhi Leonard, are they going full rebuild where they only want Tatum or Brown plus all the picks?
Well, they're just so old as it is now, and that's, you know, with Duncan gone. You know, they've got to go ahead and start fresh. I mean, you talk about the old legs.
Ginobili Parker drives it right up.
Just starts
LaMarcus
right up
Aldridge, Pau Gasol.
LaMarcus Aldridge, I hear, is not coming back there too, right? Did I hear that right? Somehow he wants out of there, or his contract's up?
He wanted out originally, but he rectified.
I don't know what's going on quite down there, but I would start the rebuild. And unfortunately, I'm not sure Popovich is the guy for the rebuild. He's what, 67, 68? And also, remember, you know, terrible thing with his wife passing away during the playoffs last year. You know, sometimes that just takes, you know, sucks the life out of you. Maybe he doesn't have the patience after winning all those championships to start fresh with a young team. Or maybe that's exactly what he needs to keep his mind occupied. I'm not sure how it's going to work, but you do start with a full rebuilding mode.
Well, it's the same thing we said about Bill Belichick. Does Bill Belichick want to step aside from the Patriots, when Tom Brady's gone? Or does he want to, if Brady leaves first, does he still want to be there when there might be a rookie quarterback?
Yeah, but he isn't dealing with a tragedy.
No.
Yeah, like, obviously,
but
Popovich.
Look, if I'm the Spurs front office, I am laser-focused on the Boston Celtics as a trade partner. And it's, I mean, they have exactly what you just said. They've got all those picks. They got Sacramento's pick next year. They got Memphis. They've obviously got all these other picks. They got four first-rounders next year. And if you are rebuilding with Parker and Ginobili going away and Aldrich, as you said, and everybody else, the Celtics, to me, make by far of any NBA team the most sense to deal with trade-wise for Kawhi Leonard.
All right. We are live at Rocky Ridge. Come on out, people. You don't have to play 18. You don't have to play 9. Just come on out. Do the 50-foot putt. If you sink the putt, first person that sinks it, we're going to give you Red Sox tickets.
Oh, boy, these guys look like pros.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're lining it up.
They look like golfers.
He's got the full golf outfit. You can tell a golfer when he's got the gloves sticking out of the back.
The gloves in the back.
Yeah, you can see that. So let's go ahead. Oh, he's leaving it short. Let me hold your purse, sir. So, you know, don't leave the putt short. Go ahead and get it out there. We'll see if you can win. Plus, we'll have other prizes. If you could outputt Rich, Brady, or myself, you can get some wedges, some drivers, all kinds of great stuff. Brady, what do we got on Champlain Valley game night tonight? Full hour.
We're going to play batting practice for the first time in a while. Go through the best sound bites in sports. And then I'm also going to get into a youth sports debate.
Ah, all right. Well, coming up next, though, is we're live at Rocky Ridge. We'll get a little bit into the Yankees because they're hitting home runs at an alarming pace. But also, who is the number one selling jersey in the NFL? And where is Tom Brady? Is his number one selling? We'll get all that next. Coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Go Lake and Wingo.
Coming up on Thursday, draft day for the NBA, and the moves have already begun. More on that, plus the latest from Russia and the World Cup. And what world record will we fail at breaking next?
Weekday mornings from 6 to 10, only on 101.3 ESPN.
Guys, I want to watch the Yankees and Mariners tonight, but I'm nervous about the Yankees hitting all those home runs, so I'm going to need to watch with beer in hand, great food, and others, so I have to go to RJ's.
What a great play. You come play some golf, and then you go out to RJ's tonight. You can see all the games, any sport. They got the soccer on. They got 10 large, high-def TVs, best area sports you're ever going to watch. Check it out. Great sports bar with the big, what's the big screen TV?
How big it's just called one? A very big screen TV. It's a 120-inch big screen TV. Look, they've got over 20 appetizer options, including the award-winning wings. You know I love the kitchen sink.
Corkscrew shrimp, they got that there, too. That's
you love
favorite.
The garlic parm wings. You I have do. Those. They've got loaded fries, corkscrew shrimp, as you said, fried mac and cheese bites, soups and salads, too, for people not looking for as big a portion as I like to have. Those wings also, by the way, 49 cents. Every single night. Reuben James is the spot to be. It's on Main Street in Burlington. It's right next to the Flynn. So what are you waiting for? Come see us and then go to RJ's.
Studies show that listening to 101.3 ESPN makes you more productive. And we'll prove it when we get around to it. This is The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Remember, Buster Oldie will start off hour number two. Looking forward to talking to Buster, getting some more baseball there. We're live at Rocky Ridge Golf Course. Come on by. Try to do the 50-foot putting challenge. You make the 50-footer. First person that makes it, you get Red Sox tickets. Nobody has made it yet, though. Everybody who dresses the part of a golfer is not made it either.
It's
so.
Like when you say power play, confidence level very high, very low.
Anyone very low.
That looks like a golfer, you go, oh, confidence level through the roof.
Yeah. Not so much today. So
they're
coming
measuring
out.
That one, that's close. There's about 3 feet away right now. That may be your winner.
And you can try to win a wedge or a driver. They got some really cool stuff. Look at those drivers over there.
And again, if you're coming, you're going home to Hinesburg or anywhere along 116 coming from Williston, you literally just park right here at Rocky Ridge, and it's right at the corner of 2A and 116. Just park here, putt. We got a bunch of people here to show you the way.
Yep.
You walk home with the boss's box seats to Fenway.
All right, Brady, who's the number one selling jersey in the NFL?
Saquon Barkley.
Shocking.
Right now.
Shocking.
Wow.
Number
they have a number for him yet?
Number one. I don't know. I think he's in the 20s, I think.
Okay.
Was he 26 at Penn State?
No, I thought he was like 6 or something like that. I'm not sure.
Well, now I'm going to have to look it up.
He was 26 at Penn State.
No, I'm not sure what he was. A little bit of a surprise there. Because with all the quarterbacks that were drafted early, I thought it would have been one of the quarterbacks, like Baker Mayfield or Sam Darnold, because he went to the Jets, or obviously
26.
Right, okay, yeah. Was six.
But how 20, funny is that? Go. He doesn't even know what his number is yet, and everyone's buying his jersey. What jersey are they buying? Is it number
so
one?
He has his number.
No, I'm sure he's got his number already.
Yeah, he's got
it
his
says,
number.
Well, Barkley hasn't chosen a number yet.
Oh.
But there isn't a player on the Giants that currently wears number 26. So... what are people buying? 26?
No.
What if he chooses 46?
Maybe it's just one.
Yeah, maybe he's number one. Yeah, Aaron.
In the NFL shop, his number is 26 on his jersey.
Okay. So that's what they're buying, the number 26. So maybe he's going to end up getting that. So we'll see.
So it's amazing just how excited people are for Barkley. I mean, here you look. The Giants are the biggest media market in the country.
Right.
The Giants also, I imagine, have some overseas fans that would be interested. The Giants also have a number of transplanted fans in other markets. So I can see why a Giant is this popular. Odell Beckham Jr. is number 10. So there's a lot of popularity for the Giants. But
right.
I'm amazed that with all those quarterbacks taken, and you look at, again, like a Baker Mayfield, that he's not ahead of that. That Barkley's
right,
ahead of that.
Right. Well, the Baker Mayfield thing. Okay, you're talking about a guy that's
like
Cleveland Brown, but Sam Darnold. But then again, it's the personality. If Baker Mayfield was on the Jets, maybe he'd probably have the number one jersey right now.
Johnny Manziel was on the Cleveland Browns, and I bet you he was up right there at the time of the
sure.
jersey
I'm
sales.
Not so sure about that. At the time that he went to Cleveland, I know it was up there. That's for damn sure. And remember, now this has been a good draft also, so there are some polarizing names, but it does surprise me that Saquon Barkley has the number one selling jersey right now in the NFL.
But isn't it interesting that Mayfield's jersey is number two on that list and Sam Darnold's is number three? What does that tell you about it's all about the now and the future? I mean, people want to get in early on phenomenons like this, and they want to be able to say, yeah, I bought that before he ever threw his first pass.
And speaking of getting in the now, Tom Brady is still in the top 10, which is fascinating to me. Tom Brady is number 7 in jersey sales right now. And I just assume at this point, if you've ever wanted a Tom Brady jersey, you've already had one for years.
I would think.
Like, how is he still in number 7?
I'm not sure. Does this mean, since the beginning of the year, the draft? I'm not sure.
At least since the draft.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not exactly sure. But it does surprise me that his is right up there, considering the length of the years he's been in the NFL.
But you know what I see with Brady shirts more than any other, and we see a million of them, obviously, being in New England, are kids. And they're getting younger and younger. You see Brady 12 shirts on little 4 and 3 year old kids, and I think that has a lot to do with it.
What is the worst jersey you bought or memorabilia you bought where the guy got cut, traded, or gone a week later? Or
well, for me, it was the old blue uniforms they wore, like in the Super Bowl when Bledsoe. I got a Curtis Martin jersey,
yes.
and he was gone to the Jets within 2 weeks.
So that good money spent there.
Yeah,
Brady, you're the one that loves this stuff.
Yeah, I love jerseys. I got a Thomas Rawls Seahawk jersey, and then he was horrible, injured, and now plays for the Jets. So I got one of those jerseys. Are you one of those people that believes that grown people shouldn't wear jerseys?
It depends. Basketball, you shouldn't be wearing it. I'm okay with baseball or football. I think I got you both beat when I went and got an Anthony Young Mets jersey, and that guy lost, and who's passed away since, who I think lost a record 16 games in a row or something to that effect. By the way, if you could beat that one on the Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672, 802-655-6672. What's the worst jersey or memorabilia you bought where the guy was horrible? I remember it was between Todd Van Poppel and Todd Van Poppel, and who was the other big name that
A's?
Year?
For the Mets?
No, it was some other. I think it was Frank Thomas. And I said, I got to have Van Poppel. Got to have that.
Oh, that was a baseball card.
Yeah, baseball cards.
Yeah.
And obviously I made the wrong decision.
And I can't tell you how many people I've heard say that they bought Aaron Hernandez jerseys
before
that whole thing came
Matter
down.
Of fact, that's one of my last stories standing.
And you still see Patriots 81 jerseys, and it's like, come on, man, get a life.
Well, Moss was 81.
Right,
so
but I mean, it has his name on the back. It's like, don't we? Come on, have a little class.
Well, I was shocked to see Brady still in there. Barkley, I'm surprised to see him number one. By the way, I talked about this a little bit last night on CBGN.
Yeah.
Does it bother any Giants fans that Saquon Barkley is doing the ESPN The Body issue, posing almost fully nude as a rookie?
I don't think so.
Does it bother you that a rookie is out there doing publicity?
Not really.
Like that?
I mean, that's a major publication every, I mean, a major issue every year, right? Now they've done it, and it's done with their spouses or girlfriends or...
Not always.
Not always. Sometimes it's done by yourself.
Well, usually it's done by yourself, unless I would imagine. Well, sometimes there have been people who have done it as part of their team. There have been people who have done it. Like, I remember there was a U.S. soccer team that did it where there was all five of them
lined up. I thought it was with your spouses. I mean, that's what people do nowadays. I mean, that, even, you know, I don't think it will take anything away from his rookie year, if that's what you're asking.
No, you got to get him young nowadays. Look at our bodies. They all go to hell at 25.
You want me to do the body issue at 55, Brady? I don't think so.
No, thank you.
Maybe at 54 I could have, but not 55.
I almost wanted you to not bring this up because it was 105% chance Arnie was going to blurt out exactly what he just
maybe did. A year or two ago I could have done the body
issue. These guys are trying to putt 20 feet away from us, and you're talking about posing naked.
Edelman was in the body issue last year. Look, I don't have a problem with it either. And at first I thought I was going to. Like, when I first heard it, I was like, rookie, really? Then I was like, you know what? Nope. This is just part of the new generation of athletes. And we talked a lot yesterday about Kyrie Irving and his other desires outside of basketball. These athletes, male and female, they have other interests and they have other things and other ways to market themselves than just in relation to their sport. And if getting your name out there by doing this with your body is one way to help build your own personal brand, athletes are very cognizant of that in a way that they weren't before.
Maybe we could do that on our North Beach remote on Friday.
Yeah.
We could pose.
I think we should have the ESPN 101.3 calendar.
Right.
We
will wear our 101.3 ESPN shorts that you got us.
Exactly. No shirts, of course. Or the 101.3 Speedos I'm getting. I am sure tons of people have Isaiah Thomas jerseys. That's Jeff in Addison.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of Isaiah Thomas. I'm sure there's a lot of Isaiah Thomas Celtics and probably Laker jerseys.
And one of the all-time ones for merchandising was Jacoby Ellsbury during his best years with Boston was 46. And then all of a sudden he shows up at spring training next year, number two. What a merchandising coup that was.
All right, Brady, tell me about the auction, because we have a lot of great stuff on there. People are buying stuff like crazy. So go to the website, tell people about the auction.
The Champlain Valley Auction is live right now. It goes until Friday at noon, and you can save up to 75% on great services, great experiences within and around the Champlain Valley, like the Shelburne Tap House. We did a show at the Shelburne Tap House. We absolutely loved it. Great food, great drinks. Great place to take a date, take your wife, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your husband, whoever you're with. How about this? $25 voucher, bidding starts at just $10. So,
wow.
The Champlain Valley. Look, Arnie, I almost bought you something for Christmas already because it's such a good deal. And, Rich, I'm still looking for your
gift. I told you, the guy that came to train Stanley. My dog is on that list also. So go ahead and check him out. If you've got dogs that need a little bit of training, this is the guy to go to. He'll have a great deal on that also, Rich.
And family fun just in time, all this great weather. I mean, like, we're talking about places you're going to go anyway with the whole family. Our Sable Chasm and Fort Ticonderoga, Park Safari up just over the border in Quebec.
Nice.
I mean, these are places, just go online right now, and I mean, the prices are like half to get into these.
Go to the website, check it on out. When we get back, though, UVM Men's Hockey, they're going to release their schedule. We'll talk a little bit about that. That's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
The local sports talk show. Nothing else comes close. Come to think of it, there isn't anything else. The Huddle, 101.3 ESPN.
This is Biz Markie, isn't it? Yeah! You guys
look... Yeah, what on?
Yeah! You didn't know I know my music, huh?
You know that.
Just a friend.
I don't know how I know
that. But you've got a 20-year-old, so...
Yeah, well, that doesn't mean he likes him,
baby,
for crying out loud.
You got what I need.
Thank you. We're live at Rocky Ridge. Come on by. We're still looking for someone to win the Red Sox tickets. Nobody has sunk the 50-foot putt yet. Many have tried. No one has sunk it. So when somebody does, we will let you know. All ages, too.
Yeah, and now we've got like a 10-year-old out there.
Who will probably make it.
Watch what happens.
Yes, he'll probably make it out there. Brady, what's going on with UVM? What's happening there?
UVM Men's Hockey set to release its 2018-19 schedule. They will do so tomorrow, and they'll do so via social media. And they're doing it in an interesting way. They're going to reveal their schedule bit by bit throughout the day. So at 10 a.m., they'll announce what's happening in October.
Oh.
At 11 a.m. in November, noon will be December, and so on and so forth. So ending with March will get released at 3 o'clock.
They've had pretty good schedules. Yeah. Michigan came up here
two years ago.
Yeah, I enjoyed that.
It's interesting because the first one they're going to put out is October, and that's always the one with all the heavy hitters, the national teams, home and away. So October and, to a point, November, before they get their schedule, you know, their league, their Hockey East schedule, you already know who they're playing in
right,
Hockey East,
right.
So you kind of look forward to that so-called preseason.
Maybe my son's team will go D1 by the time he graduates, and they'll play Vermont someday. You laugh at that. I do keep track. You know, University of Illinois now trying to become D1. They're really trying to push the game of hockey and grow it, no doubt. Oh, by the way, did Holy Cross go to Hockey East also, or did they make the change?
I don't think there have been any.
Yeah,
really?
I think so. At least that my son might have told me that. I would have known that on my own, so I will say that.
Well,
so.
I only laughed when you said Kent State at Vermont because you would be that insufferable
Women's Hockey East.
Oh, what, the Women's Hockey?
Can you imagine State with your son at Pedersen Fieldhouse? They would be taking you out in handcuffs.
Oh, it would be a blast. I would love to see that, no doubt about that. By the way, the schedule will be coming out tomorrow, and a little bit piece by piece, so looking forward to it and see which games I'm going to go to. By the way, we are live at Rocky Ridge. Like I said, come on by, try to win the Red Sox tickets. They're still available. If you make the 50-foot putt, you get them on the spot because we're only going to give them to the first person that makes it. Nobody has made it yet, Rich. I'm a little surprised, but you made it when we were practicing earlier today.
Piece of cake, and I lipped one out,
too. It wasn't a piece of cake. Stop it.
Yeah. No problem.
Yeah, Rich,
no problem.
I'm not buying that.
Yeah.
That's all I did the first 15 years of my life. I had no choice. I had a golf-obsessive father who brought me out every day. So.
I bet you couldn't shoot. I bet you couldn't beat me if we went and played 18. And I don't play golf, Rich.
Hey, anybody that is listening right now that has played a round of golf with me is screaming at their radio going, you're so full of belief.
Yeah, Rich, hey, no doubt about that.
One more thing on hockey. Bruins home opener announced for October 8th. They'll take on Ottawa in their first game at home.
Okay, whoa. Very good. Yeah,
October 8th.
Because I know hockey is on everyone's mind today. There now isn't a cloud in the sky above us here at Rocky Ridge.
I am taking off a lot of days to go to Red Sox, Patriots, and everything. So just start taking my days off now. I'm going to a bunch of games.
Sports.
All right. Hour one in the books. Brady's going to have a SportsCenter update, and then we're going to get you ready for Buster Olney. Always looking forward to talking to Buster. Got a lot of baseball to get to as we get ready for hour number two as we're live at Rocky Ridge right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Golic and Wingo when you drive in, and the Huddle when you drive home. And you can always be part of the show by calling or texting at 802-655-6672. This is The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the Huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. Mere moments away from Buster Olney. Looking forward to that. What, Brady?
Rich is signing autographs.
Yes. First autograph in his life, I think, is he's ever signing there. That's going to be a tough one out there. So we're live at Rocky Ridge. Come on by. Still Red Sox tickets up there. I was going to say for sale. Not for sale. You can't bribe us. You got to make a 50-foot putt to get the Red Sox tickets. And the first person that does that, you get the tickets. Otherwise, try to get the drivers or get one of the wedges out there that we have given away. So come on by Rocky Ridge. Intern Aaron will let me know when we have Buster Olney on the line. Because
you're signing a hat too.
I'm signing it, but
no, you don't want Arnie's on there, right?
You do.
Is that what he said? The kid doesn't want Arnie on there,
except for the fact he wore a black and white checkered hat.
We're signing our with a black magic marker on a black hat. That's quite a challenge.
How many autographs have you signed in your life?
Millions, absolutely millions.
That's the. I was doing the Cooperstown Classic.
Yes,
and I was the bullpen catcher, and the guy. This kid said, "Will you sign this?" And I said, "You don't want my autograph. You want the actual major leaguers." He said, "No, I want yours." So I signed next to, you know, Todd Hollinsworth, NL Rookie of the Year.
That happens a lot out at Centennial. They'll have you see all the players' autographs on a ball or a shirt or something, and then they'll come up to the press box and say, "Would you sign?" I'm like, "Why?
Yeah.
Why do you want my name? You've got all these future major leaguers."
Is there any autograph you have, Brady? That you do you have Ken Griffey Jr. or no?
I do not.
What?
Nope.
What? I can't believe that you've not picked up like a signed jersey or, you know, something to that effect. I'm absolutely shocked on that. I used to have a signed Arnold Palmer lithograph, but I got rid of that one.
A lithograph?
Lithogram, whatever they call those things.
Could you keep it down?
A lie detector.
My drinking buddies are putting on the 18th.
Are these your drinking buddies?
They are very much the drinking buddies, yes.
The way they're putting, they should have drank a little bit more. Rich,
no pressure, Skip. Don't blow it.
We will talk to Buster only mere moments away. We'll get a hold of Buster, talk about the not only the All-Star game, obviously the race between the Yankees and the Red Sox. I want to know, does Buster only collect the autographs and have any cool memorabilia?
I bet he has a ton of cool memorabilia from when he was a kid.
Oh.
You know, I got to ask you, I was reading this earlier. People were saying maybe a way to fix the Home Run Derby was to put Ichiro in it. Even though Ichiro's not playing anymore, they want to get Ichiro in the home run. All right, Buster's here now, actually.
All right, we'll go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Joining us now, as he does every week, it's Buster Olney. And Buster, I want to go ahead and start with this. One of our listeners, Jim in Essex, came out here and showed us his 1975 World Series ticket signed by Bertie Carbo. How about that, my friend, huh?
That's a pretty good one. Bottom of the eighth inning, Red Sox down 6-3. Barely fouls off a pitch and then hits a three-run homer into the triangle. That was awesome. I have from 1975, from that championship run, World Series run that the Red Sox were on, I had Pee Wee Reese. I watched game one of the American League Championship Series sitting next to him, and I have him, his signature in my scorebook along with Eddie Papowski.
Oh, yeah. Wow!
Pop, I remember Pops, the third base coach.
Wow, that's pretty good one there, Buster. I like that, huh?
Yeah, I'm not much of a, you know, and certainly in my job now, I'm not going around asking for autographs. So those days are behind me. But I got the Pee Wee Reese thing up in my office.
Oh, wow.
Hey, Buster, I was just reading this on Twitter, so I'm crying myself to sleep last night because the Yankees beat the Mariners. But people are advocating to try to get Ichiro win the Home Run Derby, even though he's no longer active. What do you think about the Home Run Derby this year?
Well, I like that idea, actually, and it fits. I wrote something the other day about the idea that, you know, since we're not going to have Aaron Judge, we're not going to have Shohei Ohtani, how about a home run derby with the Davids versus the Goliaths? Because we're seeing so many small guys are among the home run leaders, whether it's Jose Ramirez of the Indians, Chris Davis of the Oakland Athletics is 5'10", Mookie Betts, who said he doesn't want to do the derby, but, you know, he's a little guy. Ozzie Albies of the Braves, a lot of examples of small guys who are hitting home runs, which is in keeping with the baseball tradition of guys like Hank Aaron, who's only about 5'11". Willie Mays, only about 5'10". You know, you can do a lot of damage in baseball, even if you're smaller. So on one side of the derby bracket, line up all little guys. On the other side of the bracket, line up guys like Giancarlo Stanton and Bryce Harper and have the Davids versus the Goliaths. And Ichiro would fit right in that. He could be part of the Davids on that. I will say this. I suspect that the Players Association would not be wild about the idea of having a guy who's not actively playing in the Home Run Derby.
Buster, what about things like the Home Run Derby? Is that whole situation, do you think, in trouble? And what is also, is the All-Star game really going to be in trouble when the David Prices of the world come out and say, you know what, I don't want to pitch for one inning because Houston's manager is just trying to, you know, get me injured, basically?
Well, first off, and I'm going to, you know, let's have the usual disclaimer. me working at ESPN, I'm going to sound like a company guy. The Derby is the highest-rated baseball event of the summer. The Derby numbers last year, the ratings were off the charts. Now, a lot of that was because Aaron Judge was in it, potentially. But the Derby every year does really well ratings-wise. So I don't think that that's in trouble. You know, this year you do hope that guys like Harper, like Giancarlo Stanton, step up and do it. I've really felt like in recent years, I think the All-Star game absolutely needs some extra juice, and I think it would come from if you tell the managers, look, manage the game to win. Leave Mike Trout in the game for 8-9 innings. I don't understand how it's sort of evolved into this Little League participation trophy thing where the managers try to get everybody in the game. I wish they would move past that. Last week when Henry Aaron did the ESPN broadcast, and he was talking about the All-Star game at the booth, he talked about how when he played, Willie Mays played, Roberto Clemente, they were in the game in the ninth inning.
Yep.
I want to see it go back to that and have the managers at the beginning of the event tell the 25th to 30th guy on the team, look, we love having you here, but guess what? fans want to see Mike Trout. They want to see Aaron Judge, and we're going to keep these guys in the game, and we're going to try to win it for our league.
Buster, you know, I was listening to Brady when he was doing the one-hour show after us, and he was talking about, like, Kershaw and some of the other guys that are not throwing their fastballs enough or not throwing it as much as they used to, right, down, like, 10, 15, 20%. Is that overall for everybody this year in baseball, or are fastballs down, and why? Is it a hitter's pitch now, not a pitcher's pitch?
No, the reason why, and look, fastball velocity is at a, at this point, is at a, you know, we're seeing record velo numbers where, you know, the number of pitches 95 plus being thrown more than ever before. It's gone up by threefold in 4 years. But yeah, what you're seeing is the through the use of analytics, what they're basically telling pitchers is, look, if your best pitch is your slider, then throw your slider. If your best pitch is your curveball, like Lance McCullers of the Astros, then throw your curveball. And so that's why you're seeing, you know, for a guy like Clayton Kershaw, statistically speaking, his best pitch is his slider, uh-huh, and his curveball's number two. And so, ooh, they're throwing more of those type of pitches because they're chasing the analytics. Rich Hill, actually, I think that philosophy, in some respects, really started with the Red Sox. When Rich Hill was with them for that brief time at the end of what, the 2015 season, where Brian Bannister works in the Red Sox front office, encouraged him, look, if this is your best pitch, throw that, as opposed to the old mantra of establish your fastball, right?
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
and that thought, that sort of thinking has gone by the boards.
Wow.
Buster Olney, ESPN MLB insider with us here on the Huddles. We're live at Rocky Ridge on 101.3 ESPN. Buster, I'm watching the Red Sox last night. They come back and tie the game at two, and Alex Cora puts in Robbie Scott. And so I don't want to criticize the decision to put him in, but let me ask you this. What's the hardest thing for a first-year manager to learn on the job? Is it bullpen management? Because I was questioning that decision.
Yes, I do think it's bullpen management. And look, Alex, he's actually managed some winter ball, and so he's been through it. But for, like, Aaron Boone, you know, who's managing for the first time at every level, that's a big deal. You know, Mickey Callaway's been a pitching coach in the past. He's managing the Mets this year, but this is something he's learning. But, yeah, that is absolutely, I think, for managers, the biggest challenge. And it is perhaps the biggest question that teams have about these first-time managers is how will they handle the bullpen.
And speaking of Alex Cora, Buster, I mean, interesting dynamic developing within the Red Sox organization. You're saying Cora might be the most powerful and influential manager in baseball? Really?
Yeah.
Already?
Yeah, it's interesting. I talked to executives with other teams, and they talked about, you know, in so many of these front offices, I think it starts with the general manager going on down. But I think, Alex, if you were to draw up a list of the most powerful managers in baseball, because of his relationship with Dave Dombrowski's bosses, I do think Alex probably has as much or more influence than any manager since Mike Socia, when, you know, 5 or 6 years ago had. And it'll be very interesting to see what sort of decisions they make leading up to the trade deadline, because, as you guys know, the Red Sox farm system is mostly tapped out. The Yankees farm system is absolutely loaded. Folks with other teams are telling me they think that in this arms race, the Red Sox and the Yankees will be all in. And that means that the Red Sox are at a strategic disadvantage. And so I do think it'll be telling to see whether or not the Red Sox put Rafael Devers out there. Hmm. Because they don't have a lot to deal from. And as they're trying to upgrade their pitching staff, and the Yankees are trying to avoid that one-game wild card, folks with other teams are telling me that if the Red Sox want to get an impact type guy, you know, whether it's a Manny Machado in the last days before the deadline or some pitcher, they're probably going to have to ante up from the big league roster because their minor league system is really down.
Do you think they'd be willing to do that, Buster?
My gut is no, but it kind of reminds me of that year. You guys remember the Red Sox were on the flip side of that when they were out of the running. And they had Andrew Miller out there, and the Orioles had one great prospect, Eduardo Rodriguez, and nobody thought that the Orioles would necessarily put him out there, but that was the price for the Orioles upgrading their team, and I think that there are going to be situations that pop up in the next 6 weeks in which the Red Sox are told, look, if you want to get a deal done for player X, you're going to have to put Devers in the deal. And the problem for the Boston is that, of course, they don't present a lot of choices for other teams, a lot of alternatives. They can't in their minor league system because it's just so down right now.
Buster, as for the Yankees, I mean, you look at their averages, and I mean, everybody's hitting 240, 250, 190, you know, 230. And obviously, the 8-9, the kids at the bottom are hitting better. But, I mean, they're hitting home runs, obviously, at a record pace. But are you concerned about that overall offense as they move forward?
Yeah, and it's interesting. After their series against the Red Sox, Aaron Boone was asked the question, are you concerned, or excuse me, it was during the Mets series, are you concerned that your lineup is too driven by the home run? And I think he was startled by the question and said no. And you know what? I would agree with him. I think the bigger number for them is on base percentage. And when you look at the way that some of their guys are taking walks, I think they're absolutely fine. You know, they're not, when you look at the athleticism of some of their hitters, the type of guys like Andujar and Brett Gardner when he's healthy, Aaron Judge, the way he runs the bases, this is not a one-dimensional offense. And I think over the course of the summer, as the weather heats up and some of those averages naturally go up and they wind up, and you guys, you know, we talked about this a month and a half ago, how the Yankees' early season schedule was so full of contenders. I think as they play bad teams throughout the summer, you're going to see a lot of those numbers begin to go up. We're seeing it, for example, with the Cleveland Indians lately because, guess what, they've been playing the Chicago White Sox. I think the numbers will go up for the Yankees.
Buster Olney, ESPN, with us here on The Huddle, 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Buster, I had a buddy text me last night and say, why do you think Gary Sanchez is struggling? And his theory was because he lost 20 pounds. He thinks that Gary Sanchez trying to get in more shape has hurt his ability to hit. Any credence to that one?
I don't agree with that. And on top of that, he hasn't lost 20 pounds.
Hey, that's what they said in the offseason.
I'm not going to get into specific numbers, but I can promise you he's not lost 20 pounds, okay?
Okay.
I think it's much more of someone who probably starts to get frustrated and maybe a little bit worn down. He's, you know, he's had a knee thing in the past, and that might be affecting him. And you guys saw last week how they shut him down for a few days.
Yeah.
I think what they were trying to do is rest him up and keep him more fresh. I think that's probably the way they'll handle him moving forward.
All right, Buster, we're going to get you out of here, but I'm just curious. Tigers and Royals are going to play next year in Omaha. Any place that you would like to see get a – and that's going to be a regular season game. Of course, we'd love to see a game up here in Vermont. I don't think there's a baseball stadium that can hold that many, but would you like to visit a place or have a place that should hold a game for like the next couple of years?
No doubt about it, and there were rumors about this a couple of years ago, and I do wonder if it'll happen in the future. The Field of Dreams field.
Oh!
There was some talk about there might play a game there at some point. I would be all in on that, if only because, you know, as I was doing my prep for that broadcast, if we were involved, then I'd get to drive a tractor. And that's something I can do.
That's right. Take you right back to Randolph Center.
I love
there
it.
You go. Oh, by the way, before you guys go, real quick, I promise you, within the next 3 to 5 years, you will see a DH in the National League. I don't think it's a question of if. I think it's a question of when. A lot of conversation among baseball executives about that.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
Wow, looking forward to that. Buster, always a pleasure, my friend. Love you. And we'll speak to you next week. Have a great weekend.
See you guys.
Take care. Thanks, Buster Olney, everybody. Wow. Well, I love that.
Did you just tell Buster Olney you love
that? Yeah, I did say that. I did say that.
Wow.
DH in the National League in the next 3 to 5, is that good?
Talk about dropping a bomb at the end of the interview.
Is that good? Because I thought we were going to go the other way around, where the American League was going to drop the DH.
I
go back to that.
I'm 105% behind that. Absolutely.
Yeah, you're 105% behind it because it keeps your team relevant, right? I mean, then it, you know, you're allowed, because David Ortiz would never have existed if there had not been a DH.
But I mean, it doesn't matter right now. I just think it just drives me nuts. It should be one way or the other, and I like offense. So
I don't know why pitchers have to be such horrible hitters.
Well, it's ridiculous. It's Major League
Baseball.
It's the National League and the American League, and it should be one under one umbrella.
Shouldn't pitchers bat at least 200?
You don't know why pitchers? Oh, stop. Oh, why can't Tom Brady go be a great defensive back?
But
it's the exact same comparison.
But Tom Brady doesn't have to play defensive back. Pitchers have to hit.
Not all of them.
And you know what, though? You could help yourself out so many times because you're getting up with runners on base because they're walking the guys ahead of you. You would think that you just batting 200 would just help you out so much.
Except they don't. I mean, you're not talking about reality here.
Some?
Well,
what are you talking about? Fernando was a great hitter.
Naming one guy in the history of baseball. I mean,
Carlos Zambrano.
Who was the guy for the Pittsburgh Pirates?
Most of them were hitting about 080, so it's just the whole. It's ridiculous to me.
I wanted to ask Buster about his podcast in which he talked with Pedro Martinez, and Pedro was talking about baseball in Montreal, and it was interesting to hear Pedro talk as a former Expo and not a former Red Sox, which I thought was really interesting because he gets so wrapped up with the Red Sox lore, and he was a huge part of the Red Sox in the late 90s, early 2000s. I understand that, but to hear him talk about what it was like playing in Montreal and that he'll endorse the team getting there any way he can, I thought that was really interesting.
You know, if they're going to play a game in Omaha, that's what I was going to say. Would they play one up in Montreal with the Red Sox?
Well, they
do that every year. I know that, but that's not a regular season game, right? I would like to see a regular season game up there, and man, would that be a lot of fun to go up there for that.
56,000 jammed into the
Like this that they're going to Omaha, check it out. You know, this is a regular season game. Maybe check out different markets.
They're doing it for the College World Series.
Right, I understand that. But, I mean, I still think that's good, though, isn't it?
But didn't last year they played it at a military base?
No, that was 2 years ago at the military base. And then they played the Little League World Series in Williamsport last year.
Right, that was awesome.
And Holman Field, which is a beautiful place.
I think that's great. I think that's good for baseball to go to different markets where you usually wouldn't have to see a game or
Centennial
anything
Field.
Like that. Yeah.
Sox Yankees.
Oh,
can you imagine the ticket price?
Oh, my goodness, man. How great would that be? Where are you going, Sox Yankees? At Centennial Field. I would love that. All right. Brady, nobody has questioned us on the mistake of the day. Have we not made any mistakes today?
Because we're absolutely perfect. The mistake of the day is brought to you by Embroidery Works at Joann's Uniforms in Colchester, where they help small businesses with screen printing, embroidery, and vehicle lettering to get it right the first time. You can always get in to try to win that 101.3 ESPN baseball cap. And we now are at Rocky Ridge. It's the start of the Huddle Golf Tour. We'll be doing this a couple times throughout this summer. We've got a putting challenge where you can win Red Sox tickets if you can hit a 50-footer. We've got a putting challenge where if you can get closest to the hole against us, you can win gifts from Bomb Tech Golf.
Caddy, get ready. Caddy, get ready. I'm coming to putt. Don't give me the thumbs up. Get the balls lined up. Get the putter lined up. I want it ready when I go. Don't look at me. Go. Get the balls lined up. I'm coming. I'm trying to putt.
I hope you at least.
Caddy.
I hope you at least tip well. By the way, Kat, that was a question in trivia yesterday. Where does the word caddy come from?
I have no idea.
The French word cadet, meaning student.
Oh, I'm sure a lot of people got that one right.
Nobody got it.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people got that right. Brady, what is coming up next? Because this is a story, a local story here.
Yeah, this is interesting. Theo McDowell is an Essex Junction native. Okay, he plays his high school ball in Connecticut. He got drafted in the 14th round by the Texas Rangers. He has elected to forego college and is going to go pro. Do we think he made the right move?
All right, we will discuss that when we get back right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Rich, Arnie, and Brady are back, and they're already starting to argue. The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the Huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN, and there goes the Red Sox tickets, my friend. Oh, my goodness. Somebody sank the 50-foot putt, and somebody just slipped it out. That young lady just went in the hole and came out. But Steve from Colchester.
Evan.
Oh, Evan. Yeah. I don't know why I thought Steve.
Well, he can pretend it's Steve. No, Evan from Colchester.
Yeah, he nailed it.
Unbelievable.
And I thought we had a second winner.
Unbelievable.
Inches.
So the 50-footer. I didn't see it go in. I just heard everybody yelling. You know what I mean? That is great. So they will get the, I was going to say the hockey tickets. No, they're going to get the Red Sox tickets. What game is that for, Brady? Do you know off the top of your head or no?
So, no, not yet.
All right. So
they're the bosses.
The boss's seats, which I've never sat at.
That's right.
That you've sat at. That Rich has sat at.
I've never sat at them.
That Evan sat at.
Yeah.
That he's going to sit at?
Yes.
That I've never?
We got to get him dragging us down to a game this year. That's always a festive event, to put it mildly.
Yeah.
He goes through about $400 without even meaning to.
So, but we still have plenty of stuff to give away. We got the wedges. We got the drivers. That driver,
yes.
I mean, I think I could hit the ball 500 yards with that driver.
Without even swinging.
Goodness, man. That is unbelievable.
And that's from Bomb Tech Golf, which is, they partner with UVM Engineering, so it's a local company, got its roots here. And I played with a Bomb Tech driver before. They are powerful, let's put it that way.
I may take those clubs home without him knowing.
Yeah, that looks
It's nice green color, Vermont green, too.
That looked nothing like the driver I used when I was 9 years old. Yeah.
Those wood drivers, huh, Rich? Is that what it was?
I mean, that's literally four times the size of that driver. I mean, you can't swing and miss with that thing.
I've got to play some golf now. All right, Brady, get to this local story. You're very intrigued about this.
I am. Theo McDowell is the name. Remember, he's an Essex Junction native. Okay?
Yes, yes.
He plays his high school ball at Salisbury School in Connecticut, a prep school. He was drafted in the 14th round of the Major League Draft.
Right.
Also has a college commitment to West Virginia.
Right.
So I thought, hey, 14th round, look, good for a high schooler, but I thought he would go to college. It came out today.
Right.
Jonathan Mayo of the MLB Network and their draft expert reported he has signed with Texas for $140,000 as a signing bonus. And look, I know nobody is in position to tell this kid, this high school senior now who's just graduated, what to do. But I'm curious as to what people would do if they were in the position. Do you automatically take the 140 and go pro, or do you go to college? I think it's a fascinating debate.
Brady, help me out on here. Who did we have on?
Brain Supple.
And what round was he taken in?
He was taken in the 13th.
The 13th. If I remember correctly, my question to him was there a drop-off point where you would go back or, you know, and he said, what, the 15th round?
Yep.
So... and they know better than I do. You know, they're 15th. So if we're going to go by that, he was taken into the 14th round. I know it doesn't sound like a heck of a lot of money. Remember, if things don't work out, you can always go back to school. You just can't pitch.
Yep. You just can't play. Yeah,
you just can't play. But you go get your degree. So I don't think I have a really that much of a problem. You know, nowadays, college isn't for everybody. And people are saying you really don't need to have college or specialized, you know, schools for broadcasting, for plumbing, for just about everything nowadays. Hey, let the kid go try to live his dream and might as well start right now.
I couldn't agree more. He is doing exactly the right thing. And it may surprise you as an old school guy, but I say he is, you know, go for it, man.
Yeah.
Because you know what, especially in this day and age where everything's online and it's so much easier to get your diploma now. Maybe not easier is not the right term. I'm sure it wasn't easy for me, but it's. But it's there are more ways to get it done. He's not when he's getting his diploma when he's done with his baseball shot at 30 years old or whatever, he's going to be glad at least he tried because he's not going to be able to start his pitching career at 30.
Bro, look what I did with my own kid. He didn't get $140,000, and we let him play 2 years of junior hockey in 1 year in Canada, 1 year in Boston, and now he's going to go be a freshman at Kent State and play hockey for them. So, and he got no money for that, Brady.
I mean, that would be totally hypocritical if I didn't agree with exactly what he's doing because this is in a much different way what I did last summer. I just left this job, this full-time, full-paying, full-benefits job to go make $40 a week doing Connecticut Tigers baseball games. You follow your heart, man. It doesn't matter about the timing.
Let me ask you this then from devil's advocate because I look at this in a different way. And again, I don't know his family situation. I don't know their financial situation. I don't know his own personal situation. I've talked to him one time. We had him on Champlain Valley Game Night. But I look at it from this perspective. I coached junior college baseball for 2 years. And one of my biggest sales pitches to kids was, look, if you go to college out of high school, if you go to a four-year school out of high school, you're a Division III player. If you come here for 2 years and we develop you and you play a lot and you get better, then you're a Division I player with a scholarship offer. Yeah. And that got a lot of kids to come to our school, and by and large, it worked. So if I say to Theo McDowell, look, you got drafted in the 14th round and you were given a $140,000 signing bonus. If you go to West Virginia, honor your commitment, play your 3 years there, get a lot better, come out of there throwing 94, 95 instead of 91, then here's a third-round draft selection, and here's $1.1 million as a signing bonus. So now we're talking about closer to the major leagues when you get out of college, and we're talking about you've got college education, and we're talking about the potential for tenfold the money.
What team now? Wait, what team is it again?
Texas Rangers.
Do you want to learn how – now, this is a big, important step for him, from 18 to, let's say, 20, to learn how to pitch against upper echelon players now. Do you really – look, I know nothing about West Virginia baseball, but do you want to learn from the coaches there, or do you want to learn from professional coaches in professional baseball in the Texas Rangers organization?
You go to college, you blow your arm out in your freshman year, boom, the whole thing is gone. You never even gave yourself a chance. If I mean, obviously, you don't wish this on him, but – you've got to take the chance. It's probably something he's shot for his entire life. He can go to college after he's done.
I understand that. So let me ask you this then, Rich. Are you okay, and you too, Arnie, are you okay, and I'll start with you, are you all right with, what about the football player who skips the bowl game because he doesn't want to hurt his draft status?
That drives me nuts.
Right, so it's the exact same situation
then. Yeah.
So
yeah, it's
why is that the same exact situation? What does that have to do with anything?
No, but I see your point. I mean, you're trying to avoid getting hurt so you can get that big fat paycheck or at least achieve the goal. See, that feels more like a money move than this does. I don't think this kid is going probes so he can make $140,000.
No, and I agree with that, too. I just look at it and say from a practicality standpoint, look, I value education, but I'm saying don't even look at this from the education standpoint. Look at this from the baseball standpoint. He's 18 years old, throws 91 miles an hour right now. Yeah. That's very, very good. But if you go and play 3 years in a good conference against teams that are going to go to the College World Series, and you come out of there, get stronger and bigger, and throw 94, 95, well, now you've taken that $140,000 in 14th round to anywhere between the first and fifth rounds and over a million.
Maybe that's a little bit of a stretch there also. Yeah, and I don't know if he's ever going to be a first-round selection. Probably not.
If you get drafted 13th round out of high school and you go in, or 14th round out of high school and go and have a good college career, you can look at it and say, you can extrapolate, hey, he's got a chance to be a first-round pick.
Zach in Bristol said $140,000 is a lot of cash to pass up, not to mention a chance of a lifetime.
Yeah, exactly. That's the latter part I agree with. $140,000 in baseball terms is practically nothing. But the money to me isn't what he's doing here. He's seeing a dream right in front of him, and he doesn't want to do anything that's going to interfere with it, especially when if it doesn't work out and you don't have to live the rest of your life with regret, you can just go to college after.
Jim in Colchester brings up a good point. Aren't college hockey players signed to NHL teams before they leave college? Yes, because Donato left Harvard.
Sure.
To go play for the Bruins, but obviously wasn't on the playoff.
Right, great deal with NHL players nowadays have finished 3 years of college but not gotten their diploma. They'll just go back and get it after they finish their dream.
First-time texter as a West Virginia grad. He'll be blowing it by missing out on a three-year party. Go Mountaineers. Go Mountaineers.
That is true. Morgantown is the craziest town in America. Yes.
Guess what about that, Brady? You could be partying for crying out loud.
This guy in front of us has a remote-controlled golf bag that's driving itself.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
I was wondering.
Where did you get that?
Well, they're all like that.
They're not all like that.
I've never seen one in my life.
Really?
That's the coolest thing I've ever seen.
You like that, huh?
It's kind of lazy. Very lazy.
I want to know how it knows which direction to go in.
Gosh, and he's got the beer holder and. Yeah, we could test it out.
We could test it out at the commercial break.
Nice.
Wow.
I like that.
Back on Theo McDowell, this is an important thing to look at too. A lot of teams, and I don't know the terms of this deal, but a lot of teams will, if they can get you out of school, they will pay your back tuition. So it's not like he's going to lose his free education, and that's important if you look at it from the educational standpoint. I just look at it from the baseball standpoint and say, you could give yourself 3 years to grow and develop into a better player and then make a lot more money. Look at Rane Supple. We talked to him. He was drafted out of high school, 38th round by the Chicago Cubs. After 3 years at Wake Forest, here we are in the 13th round. If Theo McDowell is going to get drafted in the 14th round out of high school, why is it not fair for me to say, could he get to be a top 5
pick? What's the difference between 3 years and no years in college? You're still not getting your diploma.
I'm just saying, I'm not looking at it even from the educational value.
Right.
I'm looking at it from the practicality of getting better and more money.
This is almost like the game shows, where it's like, all right, you've won $140,000. Do you want to give that up and take what's behind door number two so maybe you can make some more money? And at that point, you're gambling on the future because door number two might be, a wet towel. I mean, you just don't know because you're going from 100% sure thing, which is $140,000 and a baseball career of some sort at some level. But you have no idea if you give it up and go to college, and you'll look back with regret, I think.
West Virginia, huh? So that was where I was going to send my kid to West Virginia to play hockey there.
Morgantown is absolutely
I'm sure
nuts.
It's a party.
It's
unbelievable.
Nuts.
All right, Brady, what do we got coming up next?
Coming up next, we'll get into the Celtics because they are apparently trying to get into the top 10. And then is Tom Brady starting to enter Brett Favre territory?
Ooh, we are live at Rocky Ridge. Come on by. Still plenty of stuff to give away. We got drivers. We got wedges. Come on out. You don't have to play any golf. You could just do the putting green and have a little fun there.
And now what if somebody else sinks the 50-foot putt? Then
I don't know.
Competition.
I don't know. We'll give you like one of the drivers or something.
Right.
We got all kinds of golf clubs to give away. So all that coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Go Lake and Wingo.
Coming up on Thursday, draft day for the NBA, and the moves have already begun. More on that, plus the latest from Russia and the World Cup. And what world record will we fail at breaking next?
Weekday mornings from 6 to 10, only on 101.3 ESPN.
6:15 is going to come awfully early tomorrow morning, but I'm already excited to get back to Orange Theory Fitness.
Yeah, I'm going at 10:15, Rich, my normal class.
Twice in a week.
I'm on a regular schedule every Tuesday, Thursday at 10:15, and I may pick up a third class during the week. Ready to get in the shape, drop some pounds, and I've already lost about 6-7 pounds, but I got a long way to go. I got another like pound or two to go. Maybe 3 pounds, but I love going there, and I love the way they mix it up from time to time and the different coaches that they have.
Oh, that's the thing. They do. You spend a lot of time on things like the treadmill and the rowing machine, but the first half of it, or if you choose to make it the first half of it, is all in the weight room, and it's completely different exercises, and you do it on your own terms. You don't have to. You can go at it as hard as you want to.
Brady, I was talking to your girlfriend about it just last night, and talking about getting that heart in the orange zone, getting it pumping, how much time you get in the red zone. Look, people, you really want to check it out. Brady loves it. I love it. Rich loves it. Jess loves it. We're really getting ourselves in the shape. We want your heart to get in the shape. Come check out why the Today Show, the New York Times, Men's Health Journal rated the best one-hour workout. You know, it's all over the United States now. It's just not here in Burlington. In Vermont. And by the way, your first workout's free. So if you want to work out with me or Brady tomorrow, his 6:15 class or my 10:15 class, call Orange Theory Fitness right now. Or you know what? Go to them on, check them out on their Facebook page. Find Orange Theory Fitness. It's on Shelburne Road between Starbucks and Chipotle.
Remember, you can download the 101.3 ESPN app for free in the Apple Store or the Google Play Store. That means you can take Arnie with you everywhere you go. The Huddle is back on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in The Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. By the way, Rich, you're sitting next to a celebrity.
I don't see
anyone. The other side, Brady on CNN today.
What?
Headline news, yes.
I was, yes.
Headline news. 250 million viewers?
I'm not
sure. CNN has a lot of viewers.
Yeah. They do. You could see it at every airport, I think.
Yeah. I was talking about a story in which at a girls' softball tournament in Tennessee, just like a group of 12 parents just started wailing on each other.
I know, and I told Brady, you didn't see that. There was a video of parents beating the hell out of each other.
Oh, don't even tell me this. These people are
What was it? It was girls' softball or something? Yeah. What was it? I said to Brady, this is what you should have said. He said, hey, this is what we saw on video, acting like a fool in front of kids.
Right.
What are they doing behind closed doors at home to their kids is what I want to know, you know?
It's a good thing they didn't ask me to be on, because I would have ripped them a you-know-what.
Brady, you gotta do some ripping, man. You what was it, Mike, the host, Mike Galatos, or whatever?
You got to try to be controversial. How about I just tell the truth?
It's
television. Who tells the truth?
You who hate the sensationalist media.
I'm just saying.
But, Rich, they were fighting. They were brawling.
Why let the truth get in the way of good TV?
Yeah, they were brawling, though. They were throwing some haymakers in this thing. It was unbelievable.
Bottom of the barrel humans.
Josh in Burlington said, mistake of the day. Please teach Artie how to say Chipotle. How do you say it?
There's an L at the end there that you never use.
What do I? I say Chipotle.
It's Chipotle. Or Le.
No, it's not Chipotle.
It's Chipotle.
Chipotle, like Frito.
Chipotle?
Like Frito
It's not Chipotle?
Yes.
Yeah. You mean I'm going to Chipotle?
Yeah.
And I say what? Chipotle?
Yes.
Same thing. Obviously, you guys are not here. Am I saying Yanni or am I saying
Laurel?
Laurel. There you go. I'm not hearing
it's
that.
It's Chipotle.
Yeah, Javier and Yanni. Sorry about that. You guys hear differently on that one. So there you go. We are live at Rocky Ridge. Come on by. Still have plenty of stuff to go ahead and give away. All right, real quick, though, you were mentioned that the Celtics get the most aggressive to go to the top 10 because Mo Bamba's climbing up now all over the place. I think I'm the only person that's not a big fan of his.
Yeah, Ryan Russillo says both the Celtics and the Clippers are the two most aggressive teams in trying to get into the top 10. The Clippers have picks 12 and 13, also have Tobias Harris. The Celtics have 27, and they got a slew of other picks coming in subsequent years. Are you surprised to hear this news? Do you think? Are you surprised to hear Danny Ainge would be this aggressive in this?
No, I mean, we heard the rumors about Mo Bamba. I'm only surprised this, and I know it's very tough to get up to number one, but if you're going to get up to number five now, is it what it is to be to get maybe Mo Bamba? I would say, hey, go for the gusto, reach for the stars, try to get number one, get DeAndre Ayton, who I think is by far the best player in the draft. And not only that, will make the most difference, seven-footer who may grow to 7'1", and right now he's like 265 pounds. Who knows how much more size he's going to put in. You can't teach size. I'm not going to call him Shaquille O'Neal, but you tell me the last time somebody came in with that type of credentials. You know what I mean?
They have four picks in the first round next year, three of them pretty high. I'm assuming theirs won't be because they're going to be good. What are you going to do with these people? I am all for trading up for tomorrow's draft. Getting rid of some of these picks. Where do you put them? Half your roster's 21 years old.
Look, the thing that I would be willing to do is I'd be willing to give up future picks to get into the top 10 this year if you think there's a difference maker. The thing I wouldn't do is trade a player and a pick.
Right, Brown and all the picks.
I wouldn't trade Brown and a pick to go up to number two. I wouldn't trade Rozier and a pick to go up to number six.
Who's the foreigner that was at one point going to be the number one?
Luka Doncic.
I heard, and look, I've only seen one video of him, that this guy was schooling not only prospective, people coming into the draft, that he was schooling NBA stars. Okay, and I don't know where they play. Sometimes they'll hook up in summer games or AAU or what the hell it is. He was like not only beating them, he was destroying some NBA talent. So I'm curious to see what's going to happen.
I'll never forget this. Colin Cowherd said this when he was still at ESPN. Yeah. I'll never forget that he said this. We've got four. Hey, guy, won a wedge.
Yeah. You won a wedge? Good for you. Yeah.
Look at that thing.
So we've got 4 years worth of tape on some player.
Right.
We've got years of high school stuff.
Right.
And yet we see one grainy video of a player from another place.
Right.
And we're ready to fall in love
with him. Well, he won the MVP of the European League. And they say as an 18-year-old, you're lucky to just get minutes, yet he was the best player in the whole league. So that is very intriguing at somebody that age. I really think, and I'm not usually good on taking foreigners, but this kid could be the real deal.
I don't mind them trading up to and getting rid of all those picks that they can't possibly use next year for a guy like Bamba. If anything, the one thing, as I've said a million times, they could use is a big, and he sure sounds like one.
He is. I mean, look, not a big fan. Like I said, I'd rather go big or go home. And it would probably cost a lot to move up to number five to go ahead and get somebody like him. So I don't know if it's really worth it. I guess it kind of depends on what they're going to have to give up, Brady,
I just don't know what they need to fill.
Yeah.
I mean, just bring the team back next year and let them have at it.
And what if they go after Kawhi Leonard tomorrow in the draft?
If they go after Kawhi
in the draft, they would trade because the San Antonio Spurs might want.
Yeah, but from what I heard, the Spurs are not going to trade him until the trading deadline next season because they're going to go ahead and drag this out as far as possible. I don't know if that's true, though, to be honest with you.
How do you implement Kawhi Leonard being traded tomorrow? I mean, as far as the Celtics go, because all they have is the 27th pick.
Well, they could want to know.
Package that and Jaylen Brown and whatever else.
Right.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly what you just said. The Spurs might like to know what assets they have moving forward as well. Another example of what the Celtics could do if they were going to go after Leonard is sign and trade Marcus Smart, which you'd have to wait until at least free agency to get rid of him in a deal. So there's lots of – I don't expect Kawhi Leonard's situation to be resolved tomorrow, but it is possible.
All right, when we get back for last story standing, I did have a guy who was selling his jerseys. He has a signed OJ jersey and a signed Aaron Hernandez jersey. That's a true story. It was in last – but Brady found a better one than that. How about that? So that's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Time for one last piece of news gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful? It's time for Last Story Standing on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, great Last Story Standing. Brady Feather. Brady, why don't you go ahead and tell everybody the story? You guys are going to love this.
Burger King has apologized for offering a lifetime supply of Whoppers to Russian women who are impregnated by World Cup players.
What?
So That is the story out of Russian.
Well, I know Russia. I know they put out a warning that says, please, local women, don't sleep with the foreigners. I know that was out there.
Burger King has apologized for offering a lifetime of supply of Whoppers to Russian women who get pregnant by World Cup players. The announcement was removed Tuesday from Burger King's social media accounts. So it was in Russian, this wasn't English, but was still circulating among Russian social network users. It promised a reward of free burgers to women who, quote, get the best football genes and ensure the success of the Russian team for generations to come.
I see. All right.
I like that. I actually like that.
You would.
That was like when Hallmark had to apologize a couple of days ago. Did you see that story?
No.
They put out a card for, you know, there's Mother's Day, Father's Day, put out baby mama cards or something like that, baby daddy cards. So
okay. They
had to apologize for that one.
Imagine you're at a bar and you meet somebody and you go, you want to go home? Well, yeah, I get a lifetime supply of Whoppers. Let's go. Really? That's a pickup line.
By the way, we want to thank everybody here out at Rocky Ridge. Just a phenomenal place.
Unreal.
If you feel like playing golf, this is the place to come, especially in the summertime. It's just great weather. And, I mean, it's just unbelievable weather. And this is the fantastic course. Brady, you played it.
I played it.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. It's a good mix of holes for the beginner, holes for the expert. You can, whatever level of golf game you are at, you are able to play here.
Listen to this, people. Look how many people I got to thank, right? Intern Logan just came out, right?
Yeah, intern Logan.
Intern Kevin, who was also our caddy.
Yes.
Intern
Lewis.
Lewis.
We had sales guy Jeff.
Sales guy Jeff, sales guy Steve.
And
the bomb tech guy.
Alex.
Each of us had like three servants. It's unbelievable. We come to a golf course, everybody has to come out and help us out at the golf course. So,
and we were perfect again in the mistake of the day.
So that is awesome.
John in South Burlington gets it because you can't say Chipotle still.
We'll give it to John in South Burlington. So congratulations on that. Brady, what's coming up on the Champlain Valley game night?
Well, we'll have some fun. We'll talk about an interesting youth sports story, and we'll continue to take your texts all show long.
All right. For Rich and for Brady, I'm Arnie. Champlain Valley game night coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.